And you know the story. So I'm going to concentrate a lot on Jesus. And I'm going to talk about not just generic theological ideas of Jesus, and not just give you a message or a sermon, but I want to talk to you about my Jesus. My Jesus is personal. And I know that he's personal to you, and that's what I want him to be in our life, is personal. I want him to be real, not something that we think about or a figure out there or some historical guy or somebody we have to prove. He's my Jesus. He's my Savior. And so today I want to just begin by going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's just going to kind of be the key verse for the next few weeks, even in the week after Easter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read it from the NIV, and then I'm going to read it from the Message translation, because just it says it in a way that I want you to understand. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, the scripture says this: "When I came to you, Paul, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved," and look at this, "for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul was tunnel vision when he went to the church of Corinth. He said, look, this is what I'm going to think about, and this is what I'm going to do. In the Message, I want to read you the Message translation. I think Robin's got that available for us, so you can look on the screen. You probably don't have this paraphrased, but it says this: "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke plan, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy." Look at verse 2. "I deliberately kept it plain and simple." And that's really the theme that I'm going to really just drill down in the next several weeks. Let's just keep it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. Isn't that good? Just Jesus and who he is to me, and my Savior and my Shepherd and my Lord and my light and my salvation. Jesus, who he is and what he did. He died on the cross for us. He arose again for us. So my Jesus, not some person that's a figure or an icon or a photograph to look, but who is he to us? And that's why I want to talk about him so much, is because a lot of people have this distorted view of the Lord. They have this distorted view, and some of it may come from church, of who Jesus really is. It may come from movies. I mean, there's two movies in the box offices right now about the life of Christ. I think it's wonderful. Finally, Hollywood's caught on that there is a big market for people who want some quality film, and that it's clean. But we get some, you know, in our ideas. You know, I always thought that Jesus was this white dude with long brown hair. And that was just kind of like the picture that I had, because how many of you have seen those pictures? But I'm just going to tell you, Jesus was Middle Eastern, all right? And his hair was probably black. You know, and all the blackheads say, yes, he was Middle Eastern. His color, he wasn't bleachy white like me. He was darker. And we get our ideas about who Jesus was because of just our culture and just pictures of who we think Jesus might be. But I want you to see in the scripture, I want you to understand that Jesus is more than just what we have comprehended him to be by our culture and things. But Jesus is a personal person who comes to us and who shares with us our life and gives us life. Okay? Today I want to talk to you about Jesus, my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. In John 10:10, he says this. It says, "The thief," or the devil, "comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus responds. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." And then verse 11 says, "Because I am the good shepherd. I've come to bring you life." Why? Because I am the good shepherd. And Jesus, throughout the scripture in the New Testament, you will see a lot of different metaphors that Jesus uses about himself. He talks about himself being the gate. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He talks about himself being the door. Jesus is the door into eternity. It talks about Jesus says of himself, "I am the light of the world. I'm the light that people look at in the midst of darkness." He talks about himself being the all in all, the king. But probably Jesus' favorite metaphor that he used of himself was the metaphor of being the shepherd. Because over and over again in the Old Testament especially, you see this reference coming up. Jesus talks about himself being the shepherd. And he talks about the church through metaphors. He says the church is a family. I mean, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're heirs. We're sons and daughters. He talks about the church being a fellowship and being united. He talks about the church being a body. And a lot of times, I'll just be honest, a lot of times people don't see themselves in the church as being a part of the church because they haven't found their function yet. They haven't found their place. And Jesus says every part of the body has a place. You have some part to do. But probably Jesus' favorite use or metaphor of talking about the church, you and I, is the flock. Jesus loved to talk about himself being the shepherd and us being the sheep, us being the flock. That was his favorite metaphor. Jesus liked it. In Psalm 100, verse 3, the scripture says this: "Know that the Lord is good, for it is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep and we have a shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. Now, the closest English word to shepherd, because very few of you went out and checked your sheep this morning. The closest word to shepherd is the word, English word, is the word pastor. That's the closest translation that we can get. And when you look at what a pastor is, you could just really just say, Jesus is my pastor. He is my shepherd. He is my pastor. And if you've ever gone through challenging times in your life, you know how awesome it is to have a pastor. And I don't say that because I am one. I say that because I have a pastor myself. And when I face challenging times, I know that I have a pastor who cares for me, who will encourage me and spiritually guide me, who will pray for me and bring my name to the throne of God and say, you know what, this person needs strength in their body and in their mind, and spiritually encourage me. You know, when you've been through difficult times, how awesome it is to have somebody that's going to be in your corner, spiritually encouraging you and helping you and prodding you along to push you forward to where you know that God wants to lead you. And Jesus could be our pastor, because that's really the translation so that we have of a shepherd and a pastor. And one verse in the scripture, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, one verse includes both the idea of the earthly pastor, the earthly shepherd, and the heavenly shepherd or pastor. Peter says this, he's addressing these young ministers in the Lord, and he says this in verse 2, he says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the," look at that, "when the chief shepherd," when the head guy, when the one that's the most important, when the top pastor, when he comes, when he appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. So my goal this morning, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to take away from this service this morning. My goal this morning is that I want you to know Jesus that way. I want you to know him personally in that pastoral way. I want you to understand and see him as your pastor. Now you need a church and you need a pastor, because you need a physical touch to be there with you and to encourage you. And you need a physical mouth that will speak to you and guide you and help you keep accountable. But I want you to understand the love and the comfort that comes from the head pastor, from the head shepherd, from the one who is always there with us. And that is Jesus. Because Jesus is not just my Savior, but he's my shepherd. And so I want us to go to the passage. I mean, it is the passage in Scripture that teaches us about the shepherd. Psalm 23. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this in a unique way. Just for old time's sake, because most of us, if you've been in church, you learned it in the King James Version. And so I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. We've got that on the screen. And here's what we're going to do. I want us all to say it. Okay, so if you have a different version, just read it off the screen. And I want us to all read Psalm 23. Okay, and I want you to read it loud. All right, you ready? So Psalm 23 says this. Read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an awesome passage of Scripture. We have that memorized, and many of us who have been to church before, you've heard it. But I'm just going to tell you, we can't look over that Scripture and say, well, that, you know, that's just overused, or we've heard that before, the same old song and dance. Let me tell you, that is one of the greatest passages of Scripture, because it teaches us and tells us that Jesus is not some person that's out there on doing his own thing and hoping that we just survive life. It says that Jesus is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's in part of my life. So this morning, let me give you six things about our shepherd. First of all, the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say that with me. I shall not want. Now look at your kids if they're in here, and I want you to think of your parents if they're not, and say, I shall not want. Should get amens out of that right there. In the Hebrew, the translation literally means, I will lack nothing. Isn't that good? I will lack nothing. I shall not want. I will have need of nothing. And there have been times in my life, Shannon, where we have gone through some tough times, challenging times. Times when we knew that it was not going to be an easy month. It was not going to be easy for us. We were going to have to trim when there wasn't much to trim. Challenging times, but through all of those tough times, through it all, as Andre Crouch used to sing, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, through all of those things, many disappointments, many trials, many challenges, through it all, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, Jesus has always been there. He's never let me down, and things always have worked out for my good. And I can say that, I'm not just preaching that, I can say that personally as a testimony that Jesus has never let me down. Just because my shepherd provides for me. He's always provided for me. Even when it didn't look like he was going to, when it looked like that was just, it was just not going to happen, Jesus has always provided for me. A few months ago, or maybe been about a year, I got tired of trying to give cash to Sydney. So she was like, Dad, would you please just let me get a card, you know, like a bank card. And I was like, okay. So we take her down to the bank and we get her a bank card. And she gets her own little credit card. So she just thinks that she can just, you know, purchase the moon. And so the other day I was just, you know, looking at some stuff online the other day. She said, hey, I want to go out and eat with my friends. And Shannon said, well, you're going to use your own money, right? And she said, yeah, of course. And I had just remembered that it wasn't but just a day or so ago that she was saying, hey, Dad, I'm kind of low. Can you put some money on my account? And I got to thinking about this. And when Shannon asked her, she said, are you going to use your own money to go out and eat? I'm thinking, now, wait a second. This girl doesn't even have a job. You know, and I know she doesn't even play the lottery, so she hasn't won the lottery to fill her bank account full. It wasn't long ago she was telling me to change money from my account into her account. But she's using her own money. Now, you parents, I don't know if you know math very well, but I came to a brilliant understanding that that's not really her money. That's my money that's just in a different account. You understand that? I mean, I've always said, look, you don't live in your own house. This is my house. That's my bed you're sleeping on, and you eat my food. I let you eat. Because under my roof, You got my rules, right? But I would just move. I would move money from one account to the other account, and it was always hers. But here's the thing about it is, as long as I can do that, and as long as it's not just exorbitant, Dad, would you put money in my account? Yeah. Okay. Dad, I need some gas. Okay. All right. You know, I'll take care of, and you know what? As long as I'm around, as long as Shannon's around, we're going to take care of it. We're going to give to her, because even though she didn't use my card to go out and eat with her friends, I provided her the resources to use her own card. Now, I want you to think about that, because that's really how God does it in our life. We think that what we're doing, we're really using our own resources. Isn't that right? We use our own card. We swipe. We buy these purchases. But really, it's not really our resources. It's the Lord's resources that He's putting into our account. You see, the shepherd provides. He always provides. And my kids, all of them, rest in the relationship that they know that their mom and dad is going to help to provide for them. When they have need, they are going to be provided for. I had a friend that I went to school with in Bible college, and he had, years later we talked, and he said his kids, you know, they grow up and they play church. And he said they'd come in, and there was an old song that we used to sing in churches, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it goes, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. You know, I'm so glad. And it goes, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. You know, my debt to pay. So his kids, he said, man, it was funny. He said, because my kids come in, they'd play church, and he said, they'd sing it like this. He said, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my dad will pay. You know what I mean? And that's exactly... That's exactly how these kids, you know, our kids, they rest in the fact that they are provided for. Seth doesn't know anything about the stock market, taxes, or mortgage payments, but just miraculously Fruit Loops and milk show up on the breakfast table every morning. Why? Because they just magically appear. It's amazing. But in our relationship with the Lord, it's the same way. He is our shepherd. Philippians 4:9 says, and my God will meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory. It's just the same way. From His account to our account, He meets our needs. And just like our kids, those resources will continue to flow into your account as long as you put Him first. Did you hear me? That's a key. As long as you give Him the first fruits of your resources, because He'll continue to supply your account. And as long as you continue that relationship with Him, the Lord will continue to be your provider. He is the shepherd that provides. So stay under the care of the pastor. Honor Him with the first things, and He will be your constant source. He is our shepherd. We will lack nothing. He is my shepherd. Second thing He does is that the shepherd restores. The shepherd restores. I've learned to understand this restoration process of the shepherd. The restoring nature of God is something that I've gone through. And some of you have gone through some things that are far worse and challenging than I have probably ever experienced in my life. But there are times in our lives where it just seems to life pulls, just takes something out of you. You know what I'm talking about. You go through things where it just seems like that just life has just been drained out of you, like the plug of your life has been pulled, and everything that's you know, your vitality and energy and just hope and all that, it just seems to drain out of you. And the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd; He makes me to lie down in green pastures." And you think about that, and you say, "Well, why would the shepherd make us lie down in green pastures?" Well, here's the answer, because we wouldn't do it on our own if we weren't forced to. We're so busy. We're so driven and motivated, and the schedules that we keep and the time frames that we have and the pace of life is so hectic. And you guys know this, you know, work, school, out, kids' activities, you know, go grab dinner, you know, try to make dinner, get up earlier, got some chores to do. It just the way and the pace of life, it just causes us to miss our peace and our rest. In John 14, Jesus tells the disciples, He says, peace I leave with you. He didn't say, stress I leave with you. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. My peace. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. Sit down in the green pastures of the Lord and let him restore you. Shepherds lead their sheep into these pastures so that they can feed. And one thing that as we as God's children, as the sheep of His flock, can feed upon is the Word of God. Let me tell you, there is something special about the Word of God that nourishes me. Whenever I am having a challenging, difficult day, I'll tell you what happens. I go and I find a place that is isolated from distraction, and just for a few minutes at least, I open God's Word. And there's something miraculous. Say, oh, Pastor, come on. Now, I'm telling you, there's something miraculous that happens as you begin to ingest the Word of God. There is strength that begins to flow. It's because Jesus said it. He said, my word is bread. My word is meat. My word is nourishment to your soul. And I'll just ask you this morning, when's the last time you sat on a hillside and fed on the pastures of God's word? When's the last time you opened up the book and you say, well, Pastor, I'm just so stressed, I'm so busy. When is the last time you decided to nourish yourself and say, you know what, I want to be fed by the Word of God. God's Word is the cure for stress and uneasiness. Because the Word of God is filled with the peace of the Lord that brings understanding and wisdom to our minds. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Now, what is that? That is worship. He leads us by the waters of worship. And let me tell you, when your ship seems like it's upside down, worship has a way of right-siding your ship and getting you back above water level. Last week, I talked about putting on that garment of praise, and we walk around with heaviness in our hearts, and you say, well, you know, I'm just going through some challenges. My life is just kind of, it's like a ball of yarn. It's just unraveling all over the place. Find a place where you can just begin to worship the Lord. Just enter into His presence, as Daniel led us this morning. Just enter into the presence of the Lord, and as you find the presence of the Lord, what you will find is that He will right your world. And it's going to get back to where it needs to be, where you can see above the water level and you can see what He wants you to see and be able to understand what He wants you to understand. Leads us by green pastures, leads us by the still waters. Why? All for the reason to restore our soul. If you need restoration this morning, find your nourishment in the Word of God. Go into His presence and allow Him to restore and to rebuild your life in the way that He wants to rebuild it. To restore just means to turn back to the point of departure. That's what it means to restore. To go back to the place where you got off track. And the Lord will take you back to that moment where your mind got so attached to the pace and the peace and the things of life where your peace was stolen from you. The Lord will restore you back to those places where peace can be found. Those green pastures and still waters. Our shepherd restores. Thirdly, our shepherd leads. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us down the right way. He leads us in the places where He wants us to go. Now, there are lots of choices in life, aren't there? There's lots of choices. You had lots of choices this morning. Hit that alarm and just stay in bed. Throw the phone across the room. There's lots of choices. One choice will lead in the way of life, and the other choice will lead in the way of death. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you know there's a path? There is a path in all of the choices of your life. So if you imagine you're walking down a path and you come to a divergence in a road, there is a path that has His name on it. There's a path that if you follow that path with His name on it, it's going to lead you into the way of life. It's going to make your world make sense. And you'll look back over your life over the last 4, 5, 15, 20 years and you'll say, I thank God that I chose His way. And His path. And when you followed His path, your life made sense. My dream for you, Journey Church, My dream for you is that you would live your life in the way that He wants you to live, because there's no way that I can prove to you that if you follow the Lord, if you put the Lord first, He will make your life worth living. I can only example that to you and tell you what the Word of God says, but I can't make that decision for you. My dream for you is that you would understand that Jesus is the one that makes life worth living. And following His way is what brings peace and hope and blessing and prosperity and renewal into your life. Jesus is our shepherd, and our shepherd leads us. So many times people come to me and say, "Pastor, how do you know God's will for your life? How do you know what God wants you to do?" And I just take them to the first thing that I do is I take them to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, it's the story of just the shepherd and the sheep. It says this: the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. They do what? They listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because what? They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. The sheep follow the shepherd. Why? Because they know his voice. Pastor, how do I know God's will for my life? You've got to know the voice of the shepherd. You have to learn the voice of the shepherd. I went to seminary with a guy that after he graduated from seminary, he went to Israel and spent 2 years in Israel as a shepherd. And he said, "You know, I'm doing this because I think it's going to help me in ministry to understand what it's like to be a pastor and to shepherd people." And he said, it was just crazy because I've talked to him since then. He said, we'd go over there, and he said, these shepherds, he said, we'd be out on a hill, and, you know, he's working. I don't know what he got paid. He may have not got paid. But he would go out there, and these groups of shepherds with all of their flocks, they would all graze on the same hillside. So you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 different shepherds out there and all different flocks out there scattered on the hillside. And he said, what would be so amazing is, he said, when it was time when one shepherd would get ready and he had a long journey back home, or he wanted to take his sheep to go water or whatever he wanted to do, he would get up from that group and he would just walk around the herd of sheep, and he'd just make some kind of, you know, whatever. I don't know how he did it. He'd make some noise, and he said it was kind of strange because he said a sheep here and sheep, they just... And they just start walking, following. Just walking after him. And he said it was amazing. He said, because the other ones, they just keep their head down. They just keep eating. And he said, another shepherd, he'd get up, you know, and it was time for them to leave. And he'd start walking kind of around. And he'd say, no sheep. That's our voice. Here we go. And they'd leave. All of the other sheep would stay there. He said it was amazing because every flock knew the inflection and the voice of their own shepherd. And you talk about how dumb sheep are. Man, they've got great ears, you know. I mean, how do they do that? They know the voice of their shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd's always around them. He's always rubbing on them. He's always around. He's always shaking. And they know the voice. So how do you know the will of God? You got to know the voice of the shepherd. You've got to know who is calling you and when he's calling you and when he says go left and when he says to go right. In our family, we've got this universal, "Hey, you," call sign. And it's kind of funny because you probably heard us do this around the church. And what's funny is when Pastor Michael, when they were, you know, he spent 10 years underneath my ministry, and he learned over time. He kind of became part of our family, and he kind of learned this kind of call sign. And now I hear, you know, I would hear him using it now in his own family. But there is this symbol, and we can be in a crowd of people just like this. And I can walk You know, we were like this at the gym yesterday at Denton Ryan High School, and I was trying to get Shannon's attention, and Sydney's out there playing basketball, and there's people all up in the stands, and I kind of at the end of the stands because I needed Shannon's attention. I need to tell her something. So I walk up to the edge of the stands, and this is our universal sign. I'm going to say this. You cannot use this, all right? Don't use this because you're going to confuse my entire family for generations, all right? But I walked up to the edge, and if you've heard me do this in church, just raise your hand because I want to see if anybody's ever caught it. But I walked to the edge of the bleachers, and I went, ch-ch. Anybody ever heard me do that in church? Okay. I knew you had. And it's amazing. All the noise and the racket, basketballs bouncing on the floor. Shannon went, it's cool. We've been doing that so long. My father-in-law did that at the State Fair of Oklahoma one time with thousands of people in the midway and just got it. He kind of stood up on this step and he went real loud. And our kids came running just out of every, it was just, here they come. That's our call. That's our call. Let's go. You know, it's fun. I mean, Sawyer's eating funnel cake. Oh, well, I got to go. It's time to leave. That's our universal. And our family knows that. So you can't use that. It would mess us up for real. You know, you're driving out of the parking lot and you're going, hey, my kids are going to be, hey, there they go. They're leaving us. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's kind of our call. But the only way to know the voice is to have the relationship with the shepherd, you see. If you want to know God's will for your life and the direction you have to take, you have to learn his voice. That means you have to spend time with the shepherd. What does Jesus want me to do? How does he want me to respond? Do you know his voice distinctly? Like those sheep. Where if he walked by and gave you that sound, would you follow him? And if you say, well, I'm not sure. Then my encouragement to you this morning is spend more time in the presence of the shepherd. And you will learn his voice. Know his voice because he leads you. Number four, the shepherd supports. The shepherd supports. And it's the only way I could really understand that because it says that he not only leads us, but he also walks through the valleys with us. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When you walk through the valleys of life, it's always good to know that there is somebody who is with you. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, at my first offense, when Paul was standing defending himself against the praetorian, he said, at my defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. I know what it feels like, you know, to have people leave you and not stand with you. But may it not be held against them, Paul said, because verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me. He stood at my side, gave me strength. Nobody was around. There was no one person. There was no warm hand upon my shoulder, Paul said, when I stood there all alone in my defense. No one there. But the Lord, he stood with me. There's been moments when I've walked through those valleys, and I know that you have too, where I felt alone, but the Lord was there. I've stood at the graveside in cemeteries dozens and dozens of times. I want you to understand, he's there. He's there in those moments. I've been at the bedside of people who are in a family gathered around a loved one who is about to pass. And there's so much heaviness and grief in the room. I want you to understand, he is there. He's walking there with you. I've been to the ER where thoughts of this is the worst day of my life just flooded the room. And I just stood there as an under shepherd and reminded them, he is here. He is here. He's there with you in the hospital. He's there with you in the courtroom. He's there with you when the tears are falling from your eyes. He's there because he is our shepherd. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that my shepherd will never leave me. He is going to be there. He's there. Years ago, when Shannon and I had first gotten married, we were broken into. People came in during the day, thank God. And they broke into our house. They stole some guns of mine that I had in a back room. They took our dresser drawers. I mean, they just dumped everything. We felt completely violated. Shannon had walked in. The police said, I'm glad you didn't come earlier because you might have walked in on them. No telling what they'd done. They had guns and stuff. And so the next night, Shannon was like, you know, I have this weird, uneasy feeling because, I mean, people have been in our house. I just feel like, you know, just creepy, you know. What if they come back? And I said, babe, let me tell you something. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to move the guns from the back bedroom right next to the bed. And I said, it ain't going to be getting cleaned. It's going to be loaded. So you just don't worry. And I thought of the same way. The shepherd is going to be there with us. He's going to watch over. I said, babe, just close your eyes and go to sleep. And it was a tough night that first night. We just went back to sleep because she knew that I was, you know, going to be with cat-like senses, grab that rifle and shotgun that I had sitting next to the bed. And if I heard anything, that I was going to take care of them. It's the same way with our shepherd. Your shepherd's packing, friends. He's walking through the valley and he is loaded for bear. Which leads me to my next point, the shepherd defends. When the wolves show up, he doesn't run away. He has a rod and a staff because they comfort. And let me tell you something. There is nothing more comforting than to know that you have a God who fights for you. Somebody say amen. He's not passive when it comes to your defense, friends. When the enemy attacks you and you're surrounded on every side, your shepherd defends you. He doesn't say, well, you know, tough luck. So sorry, you know. The Lord is the one who will defend you, the rod and the staff. And let me just correct some thinking there. Some people think that the rod and the staff are to beat on the sheep. But that's not the way the rod and the staff are. Some people have been taught that a pastor is supposed to take the rod and the staff and just work the sheep over and say, man, you need to, you know, every time you get out of line, just whop. But that's not really the way it goes. The writer of the psalm says the shepherd holds the rod and the staff, and the rod and the staff are not meant for the sheep. The rod and the staff are meant for the wolves. The rod was intended for the sheep to be a defensive mechanism against the wolves. The wolf is not afraid of the sheep, but he is deathly afraid of the shepherd because the shepherd has the power to defeat the wolf. The devil may not be afraid of you, friends, but he's deathly afraid of the shepherd that stands guard over your flock. He is deathly afraid when you begin to call upon the name of your shepherd, Jesus Christ, and he steps up to the plate and he says, nuh-uh, devil, you just get back. This is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter, and you have no authority here. And he routs the enemy. The shepherd defends us. John 10:11 says he is our shepherd and he lays his life down for the sheep. He defends us. And then one of the strangest parts of Psalm 23, he says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Strangest part of the psalm, you're just like, okay, we got this war going on. The shepherd's fighting wolves. The sheep are just kind of listening for the voice of the shepherd. They don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, the shepherd just, hey, guys, let's eat. How about some bread? Let's set a table and the forks on the right and the knives on the left and put the plate in the middle, get the glasses just right. Napkins, anybody? He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. War's going on and we're eating. Let me tell you something. You can rest in the fact that while you were nourishing yourself, the table that was spread, it says, he spreads a table before who? Before us. And he says this, he said, listen, son, daughter, you just relax, I got this. I'll do the fighting. Right now, all around this world, in the United States military is fighting terrorists right now, all around this world, right here today, while we enjoy church. And I thank God for those men and women who are serving us. While we go to sleep at night, there are people that are defending our country against those who would seek to do harm to us. And we can rest. We don't even think about that. And I want you to know it's the same exact way with the shepherd, Jesus Christ. You can go to sleep. You can eat lunch today and know that the shepherd is fighting on your behalf because the shepherd defends. And then finally, the shepherd blesses. Some have been told that God is mean and he's just a withholder and he's holding things back. He doesn't want to really bless his people. But Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew translation literally means it will chase you down. Isn't that awesome? Goodness and mercy are going to chase you down because the shepherd will see to it that goodness and mercy follow you all the days of our life. The shepherd blesses us. Hebrews chapter 13, the last scripture I want to read, verse 20 says this, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with, look, a few good things. Equip you with everything good for doing his will, that and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Everything good, you've heard me say it over and over, comes from the Lord. And he's going to equip us with everything that we need to do his will because God wants to bless his people. The shepherd wants nothing more than his sheep to be blessed and completely in health and nourished. Somebody say amen. He wants you to be blessed, to live blessed. Our shepherd blesses us. Linda shared a story with me right before church, an incredible story. She goes to Red Lobster, and I'm going to tell it for her, just share her testimony. You can catch the, this is the Cliff Notes version. You get the rest of it from Linda. She goes to Red Lobster with her sister and her prayer partner, and they're just sitting there, and they'd eat a little bit, and then they'd pray a little bit. And then they just have, oh, here's another request. And they'd eat a little bit and pray a little bit. And they just had just enjoyed the fellowship. They're right in the middle of the room there in Red Lobster, and they caught the attention of somebody. Because when they asked for their check, the waitress that had been serving them all afternoon said, well, ma'am, somebody's already paid for your meal. And they were like, okay, all right. Favor of the Lord. Blessings of God. Didn't walk into Red Lobster to look for a free lunch, but we got one anyway because the shepherd's looking to bless us. So as they get up and they get ready to leave the restaurant, the waitress says, is there anything else that we can do? That I can do for you? No, there's not. And Linda, you know, just in her spirit, there's just something that happened about this this connection that this little young 20-something girl that was waiting on this group of ladies. She sensed something in her heart. She saw something real and genuine. And as they're walking out the door, she chases after Linda and she catches her before she gets to the car with tears streaming down her. She said, I just want you to know the Lord's been speaking to me that I am always going to be his daughter. And Linda just began to minister to her right there and just began to just confirm what the Lord and the Holy Spirit was already speaking into her life. And just through the actions, just through the life, just through lunch at Red Lobster, through some stinky shrimp and some nasty fish, you know, the Lord blessed not only Linda and her sister and her prayer partner. The Lord blessed the waitress that was there and the person who bought the meal. God said he's going to bless those who give generously. Look at the blessing around, surrounding the flock of God. Why? Because the shepherd blesses people. He wants your life to be blessed. So how do we respond with this? Here's the one way we respond, and I'm going to let you go. We respond by knowing the shepherd. Knowing the shepherd. We've got to know him. When he says to know the shepherd, that's the word, the Greek word kenosko, which is the same word when a man and woman know each other enough to where they have a child. They know each other intimately. We have a dog, her name's Sasha. She's our family pet. Shannon took her the other. She's a golden retriever. And I don't know if you've ever seen a bald golden retriever, but I can take a picture and send you one because we took her and had her groomed. We're like, hey, we got to get rid of this hair. It's coming off like in the handfuls. And Shannon had her shaved. I mean, it's like almost, it's just unbelievable. And Sasha, we've had her for 9-10 years. And she's just a loving dog. She's the most well-mannered dog I've ever had. And she'll lay in her little place, and whenever I sit on the couch, and if my arm is hanging this far past the side, I can move my arm back up on the side, she'll go back, lay back down. But if she's watching me the whole time, when I come into the living room, she's watching me. And if I sit down, if you get down close to the floor, oh, that's my chance. And she's up, and boy, she's going straight for me. She just wants to be where we, when we get ready to eat, she gets up off her bed, she comes in there, wants to sit under the table. When we're making food and stuff like that, she wants to come. We have to run her out. Hey, Sasha, get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, okay, sorry. Just want to be with you. She just wants to be with us all the time. I came home about a month ago, and Shannon has this Chase recliner in our bedroom. I looked up, and here she is laying up on that Chase recliner. I'm like, we did not buy that for you, not for a dog. She just wants to be around us, you know. I don't know what kind of breed, I don't know where the golden retriever comes from. I don't know if it's a German breed, I don't know what it is, but I'll guarantee you, she's a French kisser, because if you get her face right down there, she's just all over you. She's just right, I mean, because she wants to be close to us. That's the relationship. You got to know the shepherd. That's the relationship that we need to have with our shepherd. We just, wherever he is, that's where I want to be. Wherever the shepherd goes, I'm following, because I know that he's going to lead me in the path of right. I know that he's going to lead me in the right place. I know that he's going to nurse. He's going to provide for me. So wherever the shepherd goes, man, I just want to be there. If I see his hand hanging just a little bit off the chair, man, I'm going up. I'm going to get some loving. You see? That's exactly how we need to see the relationship of our shepherd. Every chance that we have just to be with the shepherd and just to relate to the shepherd and just to love the shepherd. He wants to return the favor and be the same way. Because I want you to know, your shepherd wants to be with you much worse than probably we want to be with him. He wants to be with you. He wants to share your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to lead you and guide you and nourish you and bless you. That's your shepherd. Jesus is not some theory out there, my friends. Jesus is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Let's bow our heads this morning.